you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 11. We'll be looking at the last two verses of 1 Samuel 11 as the introduction to chapter 12 that we will consider this evening. In 1 Samuel 11, reading verses 14 and 15, "Then Samuel said to the people, 'Come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there.' So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they also offered sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly." Chapter 12 presents to us Samuel's faithful ministry to these people at a time of crisis, when they had sinned greatly against God by asking for a king for themselves. And as we consider this chapter together, we're going to look at a chapter that presents extensive dialogue. I know you can't read any of this, but here's the whole chapter laid out for you. And every place that's in green, those are times when Samuel is speaking. So the first three verses, Samuel speaks. Verse 4, the people respond. Verse 5, Samuel speaks and the people respond. Then from verse 6 to verse 18, Samuel speaks at length. Then in verse 19, the people respond. And in verse 20, Samuel responds and ends the passage. So we're considering extensive dialogue between Samuel and the people of God as he ministers to them at a time of great need. Through its record of this dialogue, we're provided rich teaching concerning some key characteristics of faithful spiritual leadership. For us to profit more from this passage, let's now read together the entire passage. Yes, it's a long passage, but by doing that, it will bring this story back to our minds, and we will be able to profit more from the things that we consider. As we go through this passage, see if you can identify what characteristics of faithful spiritual leadership are displayed in this account of Samuel's ministry to God's people. Reading 1 Samuel 12. "Then Samuel said to all Israel, 'Behold, I have listened to your voice in all that you said to me, and I have appointed a king over you. Now here's the king walking before you, but I am old and gray. And behold, my sons are with you, and I've walked before you from my youth even to this day. Here I am. Bear witness against me before the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whose hand have I taken a bribe to blind my eyes with it? I will restore it to you.' They said, 'You've not defrauded us or oppressed us or taken anything from any man's hand.' He said to them, 'The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you found nothing in my hand.' And they said, 'He is witness.' Then Samuel said to the people, 'It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. So now, take your stand, that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did for you and your fathers. When Jacob went into Egypt and your fathers cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your fathers out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God. So he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the army of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies, and we will serve you.' Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you from the hands of your enemies all around, so that you lived in security. When you saw that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, came against you, you said to me, 'No, but a king shall reign over us,' although the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, here is the king whom you have chosen, whom you have asked for, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him, and listen to his voice, and not rebel against the command of the Lord, then both you and also the king who reigns over you will follow the Lord your God. If you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you, as it was against your fathers. Even now, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord by asking for yourselves a king. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Then all the people said to Samuel, 'Pray for your servants to the Lord your God, so that we may not die, for we've added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king.' Samuel said to the people, 'Do not fear. You have committed all this evil. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. You must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things, which cannot profit or deliver, because they are futile. For the Lord will not abandon his people on account of his great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away.'" Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who delights in mercy. And we thank you that it is because of your mercies that we have not been consumed. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for your eternal goodness to us who are in your Son. We thank you for this passage. We thank you for recording the faithful spiritual leadership of one of your great servants. We ask for the filling of your Holy Spirit tonight, that he might open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. O God, we ask you to show us your glory. You are great and do wondrous things. You are God alone. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. How we praise you for your faithfulness to us. We ask now that you would illumine us, that we may behold the glory of God and be made more like your Son. And we pray in your Son's name. Amen. So we're considering together a wonderful passage that records the faithful spiritual leadership of this man, Samuel. And the first thing that we see in this passage is in verses 1 through 5. Here Samuel recounts to them his life before them. And through what he recounts to them, we see that Samuel had a proper testimony. Samuel told the people, "I've listened to your voice and all that you asked me to do, and I've appointed the king that you've asked for. Here's the king walking before you, but I'm old and gray and my sons are with you, and I've walked with you from my youth." And then he asked them to do this. "Here I am. Bear witness against me before the Lord and his anointed." And he asks a series of 5 questions now. And all these questions are designed to challenge them to see if they can come up with any instances when he has not been faithful to them. Then says, "If you can bring up any such instance, I will restore it to you." So Samuel challenged the people to testify before God and the king about his not dealing righteously with any of the people. He offered to make restoration for anything that they would testify that he had done wrongly. The people affirmed that he had not wronged them. They said, "You've not defrauded us or oppressed us or taken anything from any man's hand." Samuel responded in this way, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have found nothing in my hand." And they said, "He is witness." Samuel was able to minister effectively to the great needs of God's people at this time because he had maintained a sterling testimony before them. Apart from such a testimony, faithful spiritual leadership is impossible. And note that Samuel set forth how he had walked before them from his youth, even to this day, from the time when he was a very small child to this time now when he's very old. And throughout that entire time, he has maintained a blameless testimony before them. And for those of you who are here tonight, who are younger, let this be a challenge to you, an exhortation to you who are younger, that you should learn from Samuel that having a proper testimony is vital for you right now in your youth. Do not think that you'll get serious with God later on when you become mature, when you become an adult, when you become responsible. You have no idea how God wants to use you later in your life. And God is giving you the privilege of knowing Him and walking with Him while you are young. Don't ruin that privilege. Maintain a good testimony before God and man, and let God use your life for His eternal glory. So we've seen that Samuel was a faithful spiritual leader, first, because he had this proper testimony before the people. And in the rest of the passage, as we look at it, there's one thing that stands out if you're reading attentively. Again, I understand that you're probably not able to read anything that's on the screen, and that's not important. If you look at all of the verses here, you'll notice that something has been highlighted in yellow. Two words, the Lord. And in beginning in verse 3, and all the way almost to the end of the passage, Samuel is setting the Lord before these people 31 times. 31 times he is mentioning to them the name of God, the Lord with whom they are in covenant, and they are His covenant people. And you can see how profusely Samuel is setting the Lord before them. And Samuel is directing all of their attention to God as their Lord. And he's exemplary for us in this way, especially when people are deep in sin. They need to be presented with God as their Lord. And they need to be again and again talked to about God as the Lord with whom they have to do. And as you can see, virtually every statement that Samuel is making, he's talking about the Lord, the Lord. And if you were to trace through this passage, you would just see a remarkable emphasis on God as the Lord. And when you read this passage, and if you've never seen this before, next time you read this passage, pay attention to all those mentions and then think about what God is showing about Himself in this passage. Truly, this passage has a marvelous emphasis on God as our Lord. And we can learn from this emphasis something very important about Samuel. Samuel, in addition to having that proper testimony, was a man who had a proper perspective about life. Samuel attested to his mindset that it was before the Lord that he lived his life, especially as he ministered for him. Look at verses 3 and 7. In verse 3, Samuel says, "Here I am, bear witness against me before the Lord and his anointed." Well, we don't read anything about a theophany on this occasion. The Lord isn't there in person, yet Samuel is challenging them, bear witness against me before the Lord and his anointed. Samuel is cognizant that we are always in the sight of the Lord at all times. Verse 7, Samuel says this, "So now take your stand that I may plead with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord." So Samuel attested to his mindset that it was before the Lord that he lived his life, especially as he ministered for him. Samuel spoke of the Lord as a witness against the people concerning his righteous dealings with them. Samuel spoke of God and the great wickedness that they had done. Notice this expression in verse 17. "Is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that he may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord." How sanctifying it would be for each one of us if we were having this kind of mindset at all times. That everything that we do is done in the sight of the Lord. There is no place to which we can go. There isn't anything that we can do that we can hide from the all-seeing gaze of our God. We are always before the Lord. And in order to be faithful spiritual leaders, we must have this right mindset about all of life, this proper perspective about life, that we are living our lives in the sight of our God, in the sight of our Lord. If you look at verse 16 in the passage, Samuel's going to show his belief in the Lord's attending to what he and they were doing by telling them that the Lord would act before their eyes. In verse 16, Samuel says this, "Even now, take your stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes." Samuel's telling them that God's going to act before their eyes when he would call unto him, and then he did call upon the Lord, we read in verse 18, and the Lord answered him by sending thunder and rain, as we see in verse 18. So what we're seeing Samuel do here is that he is showing that he lived his entire life with the proper awareness of being always in the sight of God. Only by cultivating such a perspective about our lives, especially in our ministries, will we be faithful in our spiritual leadership. And in the rest of the passage, Samuel displays a third key characteristic of faithful spiritual leadership. Not only had he maintained a proper testimony, not only had he lived his whole life with a proper perspective about life as being lived in the sight of God, but Samuel also had a proper ministry that he engaged in throughout his lifetime. We're going to consider 11 points about his proper ministry that he had. And these 11 points do not exhaust all that is in this passage, but at least it gives you much to feed on as you consider this passage for yourself in the future. So Samuel's ministry on this occasion displayed many aspects of a proper ministry. As we've already seen, Samuel focused on God as the Lord 31 times, especially as their king throughout his ministry to them. Just glance through the verse references. 3, 5, 6, twice in verse 7, twice in verse 8, verse 9, twice in verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, 13, three times in verse 14, three times in verse 15, verse 16, twice in verse 17, three times in verse 18, two times in verse 20, two times in verse 22, verse 23, and 24. It's clear that Samuel has a mindset focused on God as the Lord. And that mindset that is focused on God as the Lord leads him to exhort them to fear the Lord. In verse 14, Samuel says to them, if you will fear the Lord and serve Him. In verse 24, Samuel said, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth. Samuel repeatedly is challenging them to fear God and to serve Him. In verse 14, we read, he says, if you will fear the Lord and serve Him. In verse 20, if you look at the end of the verse, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. Samuel is a faithful spiritual leader because he's calling upon God's people to serve God, to be His servants. And he's exhorting them to fear the Lord their God and serve Him with all their heart. Two times in this passage, Samuel challenges them. Yes, you need to serve God, and you need to do it with all of your heart. We need to serve God wholeheartedly, with all our might, with all our being. We are to be servants of our God. He also did these two things. Samuel reminded them of their history. Look at verses 7 through 12. In verse 7, Samuel says, so now take your stand, that I may plead with you before the Lord. And now he's going to rehearse some of God's righteous dealings with the people in their history. And what we see is a cycle of sinfulness, God's judgment, their repentance, and God's deliverance. And Samuel is pointing them back to God's faithfulness to them throughout their history. He's reminding them of that history, and then he's reasoning with them of how God has been righteous in all of his dealings with them. Faithful spiritual leaders point people back to what God has done in the lives of their people to bring back to their minds the goodness and faithfulness of God to them throughout their lives. When we are mired in sin, God wants us to remember how good He's been throughout our lives and to allow that memory of His goodness to bring us to repentance. And Samuel challenges them about their sin, because a faithful spiritual leader does not allow people to remain in their sin. No, he confronts them about their sin. In verse 17, Samuel said, is it not the wheat harvest today? I will call to the Lord that He may send thunder and rain. Then you will know and see that your wickedness is great. Samuel was a prophet of the Lord, and he engaged in supernatural ministry here, in praying to God. Well, actually, God is the one who acted supernaturally to show them their sinfulness. But we see a principle here that faithful spiritual leaders confront people with their sin. So they bring them to the point where they know and see that their wickedness before God is great. And when these people do acknowledge their wickedness, Samuel did this in verse 20. Samuel said to the people, do not fear, you have committed all this evil. He confirmed to them that they had been sinful. Samuel did not coddle them in their sin. He did not minimize their sin before them. We do not do people a favor when they are sinful in rebellion against God to try to downplay their sinfulness. No, we must confront them with their sin. We must drive them to the point where they realize that they have been greatly sinful before God and they need to repent. And very importantly, look at verse 20. After these people have acknowledged that they have sinned, that they have committed all this evil, that's when Samuel does this. He encourages them appropriately after they had acknowledged their sinfulness. Samuel said to the people, do not fear. That's the time to encourage people, is after they have repented and they are turning from their sinful ways. Do not fear. You have committed all this evil. Yet, Do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. He encourages them to follow on with God, even though they have been greatly sinful. And He assures them of His continuing ministry to them. In verses 21 and 22, His encouragement continues when He says to them, "You must not turn aside, because doing so will not profit you at all." And look at verse 22. Samuel says this to the people, "For the Lord will not abandon His people on account of His great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for Himself." Samuel is using the doctrine of election here to minister to these sinful people. He's saying to them, God's great name is at stake, and God has been pleased to choose you as a people for Himself, and therefore God is not going to abandon you. And we need to learn from Samuel here that the doctrine of election is a wonderful biblical truth that God has given for our good and His glory. We need to use this doctrine to encourage people to go on with the Lord. And then He assures them that He has prayed and would pray faithfully for them. Look at verse 23. "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord." Do you see the heart of a faithful spiritual leader? He considers it sin against God if he were to cease praying for the people over whom he has spiritual responsibility. And Samuel doesn't stop there. Look at the two things that he joins together. "I won't sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and the right way." So he prays faithfully for them, and then he instructs them. He teaches them the good and the right way. And what is that good and right way? "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. And consider this, if you are lacking the right mindset, the right motivation for serving the Lord our God. For consider what great things He has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away." So Samuel, as you've seen through these many statements, appealed to the people of God earnestly as he ministered to them. And Samuel warned them diligently, especially about idolatry. In verse 15, Samuel said to them, "If you will not listen to the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the command of the Lord, then the hand of the Lord will be against you, as it was against your fathers who went into idolatry." In verse 21, Samuel challenges them, "You must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things, which cannot profit or deliver, because they are futile." Then in verse 25, Samuel warns them, "But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king will be swept away." Faithful spiritual leaders must warn God's people about the horrific consequences of persisting in their sinfulness. This is an essential part of faithful ministry, is warning people to turn from their sin, not to persist in their sin, not to persist in the hardness of their hearts, but to repent and turn to God with all of their hearts. So we've seen that Samuel was a faithful spiritual leader because he had a proper testimony, because he had a proper perspective about all of life as being lived in the sight of the Lord, and because he engaged in a proper ministry. Later in Scripture, God highlights one specific dimension of his faithful leadership. Let's look at that now. In Psalm 99:6, we read, "Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them." God brought notice to Samuel as a man of prayer. Later in Jeremiah 15, we read God saying this, "Even though Moses and Samuel were to stand before me. God sets before the people two great intercessors, Moses and Samuel. And on this occasion, God's people had become so sinful that even if these two great intercessors had interceded for God's people, it would have been to no avail. So we see God highlighting Samuel especially as an intercessor. The truths that we've looked at from 1 Samuel 12 are fully confirmed for us in the New Testament. We have various statements from the apostles that display the same characteristics of faithful apostolic leadership. In Acts 6, notice what the apostles joined together. Acts 6:4. But we will devote ourselves to two things, prayer and to the ministry of the word. The same things that Samuel did. He prayed unceasingly and he taught them the good and the right way. The apostles, we're going to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In 2 Corinthians 12:19, the Apostle Paul tells us, all this time you've been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we've been speaking in Christ. Paul had that same mindset of living all of life, of carrying out all of his ministry in the sight of God. And he said that they had been speaking in the sight of God in Christ. We see that Paul emphasizes the importance of a blameless testimony in 1 Thessalonians 2:10 when he says, you, the people of God, are witnesses, and who else is a witness? And so is God. How devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Can you see that same emphasis here that we saw in Samuel's ministry? And the importance of a proper testimony. The importance of understanding that all of life is lived in the sight of God. And the importance of a faithful ministry to God's people. To Timothy, Paul said these words, pay close attention to yourself. You must watch your testimony and to your teaching. So we see that the New Testament confirms these main truths that we've looked at about faithful spiritual leadership. And ultimately, of course, God sets before us as our perfect example, as our supreme example, our eternally faithful spiritual leader, Christ Jesus, who maintained a perfect, sinless testimony throughout his time on the earth. Christ Jesus, who ever lived in continual fellowship with God the Father, and of Christ, even at the right hand now, glorified on high at the right hand of God the Father, this is what Christ ever lives to do for God's people. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to do this, to make intercession for them. If you weren't convinced of the supreme importance of intercession from Samuel or the Apostle Paul, certainly we see it from Christ. He ever lives to make intercession for us, and it's because of that intercession that he is able to save us forever. That is how he is saving us forever. And notice how we are specified in this passage. We are the people who draw near to God. That's what Samuel's goal was in his ministry to these people on this occasion. Samuel was ministering to them faithfully to cause them to draw near to God. And that's what God wants all of us to do. Especially when we have been sinful and our tendency is to turn away from God. That is exactly the wrong thing. The right thing for us to do is to draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. Because God wants us to prosper in our lives as we seek Him with all of our hearts. So we've considered faithful spiritual leadership. this evening from 1 Samuel 12. We've seen the life of a great man of God. A sinful man, yes, but a man who was faithful to God from the time that he was a youth throughout his whole life, even to his old age. He had maintained a proper testimony before the people. He had a proper perspective about life, and he had a proper ministry before them. Now think with me how eternally grateful all of us should be for all of the faithful spiritual leaders that God has blessed us with in our lives. Think through your mind the pastors that you've had, the pastors that we have now, the Sunday school teachers that you've had, your parents, if they're believers, godly friends, teachers if you've been in school, all of these faithful spiritual leaders, and then think of what God has given to us in our Bibles. The list could go on and on. Moses, Samuel, Daniel, Paul, Peter, John, of course, Jesus. Think of all the people in church history. George Mueller, Praying Hyde, William Carey, Hudson Taylor, and then think of our leadership here at our church. We should have such immense gratitude to God for the faithful spiritual leaders that He has blessed us with, that He has prospered our lives with. To be faithful in whatever realms of spiritual leadership God has put you, you will have to have a proper testimony, a proper perspective about life, especially about your ministry as being in the sight of the Lord, and then you will have to engage in a proper ministry to the people whom you minister to as a spiritual leader. And if you're here this evening and you're not even a Christian, take note that God sent His Son to die for your sins, to pay for all of your sins, that you could have your sins forgiven if you would repent and believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead and gave Him glory so that your faith and hope might be in God. God wants to prosper you. He wants you to come to know His Son and to enjoy the blessing of having faithful spiritual leaders over you. All you need to do is what these people that we looked at needed to do. They needed to repent and believe in God as their Lord. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You for Your eternal faithfulness to us. Although we have sinned continually against You, You have remained ever faithful. Even when we've been unbelieving, You have been faithful. Thank You, Father in heaven, for all of the faithful spiritual leaders that You have blessed us with in our lifetimes. Thank You for the leaders that You've given to us here. We ask for Your grace to abound to each one of them, even as we ask that Your grace would abound to us, that all of us would live all of our lives in Your sight with a proper testimony. And we ask for the filling of Your Holy Spirit, that He would empower us to be faithful in whatever ministries You've given to us. We praise You, our Father, that You are making all things work together for good to us who know You, who love You, who are the called according to Your purpose. Father, perfect what is lacking in our faith. We ask that You would take Your truths that we have considered this evening, and by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would burn those truths into our hearts, that we would live the rest of our days fearing you, having your fear as our treasure, and serving you in truth with all of our hearts, ever considering how great things you have done for all of us. We thank you for your great goodness to us, and we pray that you would be exalted forever and ever. Blessed be your name. We pray in the name of your Son. Amen.